I'm reading an asteroid cluster ahead.
Huh? We'll never avoid them unless we cut our speed.
Yes, but if we cut our speed, the fleet will close in and destroy us. What are we going to do?
If Captain Tyler were here...
Huh?
If the captain were here, what would he do?
What would the captain do? Right. Full speed ahead! Lieutenant, take us into the asteroid cluster!
What?
Lieutenant, if we hit one of them, we're history.
Well, then we better not hit any. Full speed ahead!
Yes, sir. Here goes.
Japanese, a podcast where three dudes in their 40s talk about anime. He's an equally irresponsible first mate. He's Bill.
Aw, I'm your first mate.
You are my first mate.
Aye, aye, Captain. He's Barnacle Bill the Sailor.
If we're lucky, we'll get hand-to-hand combat, and he's a combat master. He's Matt.
No.
And scalpel. I'm Dr. Andy.
Scalpel. Doctor.
Scalpel.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, it's Tuning Japanese, a podcast where we talk about anime, and we are just in the midst, like the grip, just like our guts are full of the irresponsible Captain Tyler. I was trying to say that as in we ate a lot of fruit, like the beginning of this episode, and then it turned into something very different,
nope,
I think.
Nope. Nope. We don't have that anime all up in our guts.
We are full of Tyler's seed.
That's not our new
tagline. The seed of luck.
Tuning Japanese, we're up in your guts. Like, is that not good?
Where three guys get anime up in their guts.
I feel like we've done this before.
Oh, did we? Anyway, how are we doing today?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a, yes. As usual, it's Friday. I'm as good as I'm going to get. It's the longest possible time until more work.
It's my Monday.
I'm sorry, Matt. This is the closest possible until you have a lot of work. But don't worry, Matt. You get a nap soon.
Yay!
So we gotta blow through this episode like...
Like the Soyokaze through the Raugan's fleet.
And like the fruit's gonna blow through Tyler's colon.
Colon blowing you in the morning.
Hey, speaking of Tyler, we're reviewing The Irresponsible Captain Tyler. This week we are actually gonna be doing a twofer episode. Yes, we're gonna be reviewing episodes 18 and 19 of The Irresponsible...
This week.
Bill, Irresponsible Captain Tyler. It's a twofer.
Why are we all wearing different t-shirts then?
I might have been wearing this t-shirt last time. Who knows? I don't remember. But let's start, before we jump into episode 18, with a little bit of nerd news. I want to start.
Okay, you start.
Okay. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth came out. Not Afterbirth. Rebirth came out. Final Fantasy VII Afterbirth would be a wild game.
Yeah. We went to the store by the game. We had changed back and swap it out with Meg or whatever.
No, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, the follow-up to Final Fantasy VII Remake, came out. And I'm about 5 hours into the game, and it's pretty. I love the characters and the interactions and their portrayal so far.
Uh-huh. Stayed home with some Final Fantasy flu today, did you?
I did stay home with some Final Fantasy flu. You were absolutely right. I did call in to work today. It was worth it. It was well worth it.
I see.
Yes. And then all I'll say is, if you have not played the game or don't know much about it, there is a card game side quest in this that is not quite Triple Triad in levels of fun, but I'm very much enjoying it. It's called Queen's Blood, and I think it's going to take up most of my time playing this game is just playing Queen's Blood against random NPCs.
I felt that way about Gwent.
I hear Gwent is fantastic. I've never played Gwent, but I heard that Gwent was like the reason to play that game. Matt, I think, I can't remember if we've talked about Final Fantasy with you before. I know we have in past episodes.
Yeah, we. I'm clearly on the record.
I remember.
Yes. Of saying that the only part about Final Fantasy VII that I really have any passion for is the part where Cloud has to pretend to be a woman.
Yeah, you know what? It all is coming back to me now.
Oh, surprise. So, I am so shocked.
I want to see Cloud in all them pretty dresses. With his hair all done up and tied in braids.
I had no idea. I could have guessed.
Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Check it out. So far, so good. I'm enjoying it. I know that I'm going to sink a lot of time into it.
Is there going to be more?
Yeah, more of the game or the series?
Yeah, this doesn't conclude the game, does it?
No, there's one more. There'll be a third part as well.
Okay.
But this goes through a good chunk of the game.
Turning one game into a trilogy? What is this, The Hobbit?
It is, kind of, honestly. But so far, it's working better than The Hobbit did. Matt, do you have anything you want to talk about for Nerd News this week? It's okay if you don't, but if you do, we'd love to hear.
I've heard they're remaking The Crow.
Nope.
Yeah, Bill, did you hear some news recently?
Nope.
Like maybe a remake of something?
Nope.
One of your favorite movies of all time?
Big Trouble in Little China?
Nope.
Wait, are they still remaking that?
I had no idea they were.
No, I'm not talking about Big Trouble in Little China. I'm talking about Kaka.
I don't know what you're talking about. It didn't happen.
Like face paint, trench coats,
goth mimes.
I mean, kind of, yeah.
Bill, yeah. Bill, you're gonna have to come to terms with it.
I don't wanna.
So
yes, I was cautiously optimistic when I saw that Bill Skarsgård was going to star in the Crow remake.
And how do you feel now?
Betrayed. He looks like the guy from De Antwoord. I don't want SoundCloud rapper Crow.
But he's got this new mixtape he wants to share with you. And
don't wanna.
And it's called Pain.
The sound, no, that would be okay. That'd be pretty goth.
No, I just remembered some nerd news.
Oh, Bill, he's coming to save you.
Have either of you been to McDonald's lately?
A couple weeks ago.
They're currently doing an anime-style promotion where they've turned the M upside down and made it a W, and they're Wickdonald's currently, because anime, they always turn the M upside down to make a W.
So are they actually
I was going to say, what the hell does that mean?
Are they actually, like, turning the W's on their signs upside down and, like, the...
I haven't noticed on the sign.
In, like, but, the advertising?
On all their advertising and their brown bags and... I kind of want one of the shirts I saw one of their employees wearing.
Did you mug him?
No.
Well, that's the easiest way to get it.
You didn't want it that bad.
Yeah.
Wickdonald's.
Wick.
I just had their fish sandwiches lately because I love Lent.
Yes, and Lent loves you.
I am excited for Lent season.
Yes, I know. Not for the reason you're... Well, okay, for the reason you're thinking.
Anybody that knows me knows it
has nothing to do with Christ and everything to do with fish sandwiches.
Oh,
yep,
Lent.
Were you hearing Lent?
Yes, I was confused.
No, the Lenten season.
You had Lent in your fish sandwich. Ew.
No,
and you liked it.
It's the magical time of year that Christ died for that gives us cheap, plentiful. Seafood options.
Oh!
At every fast food restaurant.
Because of that whole fish thing that he did, huh?
Yeah, probably. That makes a lot of sense. Let's go with it.
We're real theologians over here.
Yeah, a friend of mine sat me down for a few episodes of The Chosen a while back. I was like, oh, okay.
You know, All joking aside, of the people on this podcast, I am the theologian probably, but I'm a fish lover more.
I'm the Robert Lozian.
Oh, R as in Robert Loggia. O as in, oh my God, it's Robert Loggia.
How do you feel about fried fish sandwiches, Matt?
Yum.
Awesome.
It's hard to find a place that'll fry the bun too, but when I do, it's great.
When you do.
All right. Well, with that, I feel like it's time to get into this episode. Episode 18. It's Bill's week.
Uh-oh. Peco is hanging out, gorging himself on some weird fruits.
No. He's Paco Paco.
Peco.
No.
I said Paco.
No, Paco.
He's Paco Paco.
Is it Paco?
It's Paco.
It's spelled Peco.
This one's Paco Paco. Peco Peco's the dead abomination.
The fuzzy thing was Peco. Tyler,
the thing you hated, Paco. Bill.
Oh. Okay. I thought she just named him after her pet.
Sort of.
You're Snowball too. Not like, okay. Paco Paco is hanging out, gorging himself on some weird fruit while Dom and him watch Azaline just kind of fart around her orchard. Her hollow orchard.
Mm-hmm. That fruit looks really gross, by the way, on the inside. Like, I would not want to eat that if I, like, took a bite in that and I saw, like, pale gray.
Ooh.
I mean, it's kind of like a plum or a date, just with, like, speckly yellow-red skin. I think the skin and the insides don't go together. That's the upsetting thing.
That's true. That is the difference between the two. Is jarring.
Yes. Saddam just wants to know why she loves him so much. And it's because he gives her a great sense of peace.
Aww.
I still don't get Dom. I don't understand him. I don't get it. Like, he's too complex of a character. Like, I just don't get his motivation or why he's standing for any of this.
His motivation is to be called Daddy.
Maybe. Daddy Dom. Dirty
Elsewhere,
Dom.
On the Soyokaze, it's getting attacked by a fleet of United Planet ships for some reason. I don't remember why.
Because they escaped quarantine.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. It just,
yes.
Escape quarantine and gun you down seem to be a big jump.
No, they're going to gun them down just because they don't like them that much.
But then why put them in quarantine to begin with?
Starve them? I don't know.
Because they couldn't just blow up them on the Soyokaze. They might need the Soyokaze for something.
They're trying to blow it up now.
Yeah, but now they've shut up.
Well, either way, there's an asteroid cluster ahead of the Soyokaze and the fleet behind.
Of course there is.
And Yuriko says,
most of my asteroid clusters are behind.
Would he eat too many fiber bars?
Too many fibrous fruits.
I wiped, came out clean. So Yuriko goes, WWTD, what would Tyler do? And Yamamoto's like, you're right. Fucking full speed ahead.
Okay.
Right into the asteroid cluster.
Two things.
Yes.
Number one, how fucking cliche can you get than like, oh no, we have to escape into the asteroid field. So sick of that cliche. But you know what? It fucking works here. It's fine.
At least in this case, it wasn't, we're going to escape into there. It's like, oh, that will kill us.
They were very clear about that.
It's not a good plan. They're going into it.
Not like they have Han Solo confidence in their flying skills, exactly.
Nope.
They don't.
They're just going to trust it to luck.
Number two, I fucking love, I know, it doesn't matter anyway because I love him and everything, but Yamamoto here is so good.
It's nice to see they're all, like, getting on board with the ethos Sanity. Of the ship. But Tyler now is sick in bed because he's got a tummy ache from eating too much fruit. And Azaline thinks he's going to die. So she's like, our vets can't do anything for him because he's a human. And we don't know what the fuck to do with humans. And he's like, I got indigestion. Like, go away so I can fart. I'll be fine.
Okay, Bill, as weird as it sounds, when you phrase it that way, I actually like the scene better now. So, like, I was, like, really, really confused because he's, like, because they're,
happens
like...
happens to you a lot on this show.
I know. But they're, like, he's going to die. And I'm like, but then later he's like, I'm fine. And I'm like, well, how the fuck did that just happen? But that makes a lot more sense.
Because they don't know what the hell they're doing.
Because they don't understand what tummy aches are.
Yeah.
Got it. They're just fucking stupid.
Yes. That's how I read it. He's like, I want the pretty lady to leave the room so I can just go to work and call for aid.
If you don't know what that means, wait about 2 months and when our blooper episode comes out. You'll totally understand what that means.
I wouldn't put it past Wang or somebody to send Tyler to the stupid doctors.
At least it's not stupid sending him to the Wang doctor. That's what I thought was happening.
I told the Wang doctor I was in love with you.
Yes! Boing! Yes! I love that reference.
Andrew, for it. We get a space battle.
Dude, okay, so thank you. Thank you for bringing this up. Thank you, anime, for finally being cool. Like, this was what I've been wanting to see from this anime since the very beginning. Like, a decent space battle. And this isn't one of those shitty, corny, awful ones that end with, like, oh, you can't see me because we're in space and I don't have my lights on. This one is good. This is a good space battle. I'm here for it. Thank you, Captain Tyler, for episode 18 finally giving us some space combat that's worth a damn.
Yep.
Sorry. Off my soapbox.
They make it through the asteroid cluster Tyler style.
Yep.
And Yamamoto goes, find the railgun fleet. Screw it. And Kim's like, our sensors ain't going to do that. But they try it anyway, and it works.
Yeah.
Tyler style.
Yeah.
And then hopefully that luck keeps up, because their new plan is to warp straight into the fleet.
Yep. This is that Big Damn Heroes kind of thing you were looking for, Bill.
Yes, absolutely. The Marines and the pilots, what's his name, and the twins, they're all like, you know, this is insane, but hey, we're going to go out in style. We cut over to Harumi, who's worried about everything, and like, oh, this is my fault. The doctor, drunk.
Yay.
And shock of shock, the warp works. I think this is all working because it's in service of saving Tyler.
Right.
Like, his luck is making them work.
Right.
I like that, Bill. That's really good insight. I never thought of it that way, that his luck was extending out to, like, help them, like, actually get through this. That's really good.
Yep. Because it's in service of him.
Yep. He is a luck god.
So, yeah, the fact that they've warped their way in, Wang is very surprised. He's a startled Wang.
He is a startled Wang.
And Wang is so startled, he doesn't, like, want to get their emperor to safety. And Tyler's like, maybe we should get her to safety.
He's like, that goes without saying.
Yeah.
Take her to safety!
He's dirty dangling there.
Oh, boy.
More actual battle. You know, they're firing...
Yes!
They're firing chaff out to, like, make him think the fleet's over there. And,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the pilots come around to, like, pick him off so the Marines can get their dropship over. Yeah, when they were getting to the dropship, one of them was not wearing armor. I think that's the one you keep calling Anderson.
Bill. Yeah, that's Anderson with the brown hair.
Yeah.
In the ship?
Yep.
With full armor is Qyburn and fur collar is Anderson.
Yeah, fur collar is what I'm getting at. But he's fur collar because he's the pilot of the dropship.
Yeah.
Now that makes sense.
Yeah.
I thought that when they were walking out, I was like, this guy's just going to walk out there with no armor?
He's badass.
No, he is the driver. Everybody on the ship is, on the railgun ship is clueless. Like, why is this happening? Who could be attacking us?
No, they clearly identify that it, well, they, you know, they don't know that it's the Soyokaze, really.
Well, they know what faction it's from, but they don't know, they don't know, like, how or why. They don't, oh, maybe because we took one of their fucking captains.
I thought that was weird, too. I thought that was, like, a complete, like, just bad. I don't know if it was just they were stupid or it was a bad translation of the dub or what, but like, it's like, of course you know who it is. It is his crew. Who else would do that?
Right.
Only his crew.
I suppose that they don't know all the intra workings of the United Planet, whatever. I guess it could be some badass commando team there to like get back a high ranking officer.
Last they knew, they were the Soyokaze crew was under quarantine.
Yeah.
They did know that, and Tom was like, Tyler, don't you care? Tyler's like, no, why should I? So this is a genuine surprise to them that they're there.
Supplies.
Pause on that for a second, though, because I don't understand two things. Number one, I don't understand why Tyler is not concerned. Like, why is he, like, he's like...
Because he's Tyler?
We should, Shouldn't you be worried? Like, he's soft-hearted enough, he should care. Like, he shouldn't have a flippant attitude about it. I think this is the one thing he should actually care about.
This was the argument we sort of had on a previous episode, where was he brainwashed, or was he just being Tyler? Don was like, he's been brainwashed, and you guys were just like, no, he's just Tyler.
Well, it's because the brainwash thing was really dumb.
He doesn't worry about his crew. He figures they're probably fine or whatever.
That's because the brainwash thing came out of left field. It was just like thrown in as a side comment.
And he doesn't necessarily know that's his crew either. Because he especially knows they were all locked up. And
also, why is Dom just like, protect her? It's like, what? Like, I don't understand Dom. I don't get him.
He had to put a sudden lot of trust in Tyler, who's like,
yeah,
Paco Paco, go with her and protect her.
Yeah.
As she's gurneyed away.
Like, fucking what? Like, who is catering. This character? This terrible character that is Dom.
He
I don't
is
get
not
it.
Terrible.
He is. He doesn't
I'm
make
about
any
to
sense.
Call you names, Andy.
I don't know if he's terrible, but I do not understand him.
He is the only one who wants what's best for the Empress.
I think he wants Tyler.
Among the Raugons.
Okay, that's the only way that makes sense to me, is Bill's suggestion there.
No, yeah, I think he's got a crush on Tyler. I think that's got a lot to do with it. That's the only thing that makes sense.
You know? Prove him wrong, man! Prove him wrong!
It's the age-old anime rival thing, but no, yeah, I can't necessarily discount that.
If it's the anime rival thing, they're doing it really badly. Like, they really need to do it better.
Also, name an anime rivalry that isn't just a little bit gay.
That's exactly why I said I can't really naysay it, even if it is a rival thing.
I absolutely would not be shocked if Vegeta and Goku boned down at least once or twice.
They've been inside of each other.
But this is accurate. This is true.
Dom knows that among all the people around the Empress, and he knows that his own people all have, like, political motivation and shit like that. But he knows that Tyler's the only one who will take care of her because he wants to make sure she's okay.
So does he love her, or does he love the Empire?
Oh, he wants all the Empire! Revolving sex door at Dom's place! No.
Wow.
I don't even know what that means.
But guys, I forgot the question already.
Matt, I love you.
But we went on a total tangent, and we're struggling to get to the important part.
What's the important part, Bill? That I'm almost out of farm girl?
Mech fight.
Oh, fuck yeah. This is really good.
we got the Marines and their cute mechs versus the Railgons, and they're not as cute, but still kind of cute mechs.
They are kind of cute. You know what makes the Raugons cute? The fact that their heads are so big.
Yeah. They're still kind of cute.
The Raugon suits look better than the Marine suits.
They do. They do.
Because they're like full body with, I assume they're like, they actually have their arms inside the arm.
Armor. Yes, instead of like crate, like cuddle up inside. No, I love the fact that like style. The yellow bots have like Moogle helmets with like the little ball at the end. I love that. There's definitely some Final Fantasy reference going on there.
And we go back to Yuriko and Yamamoto, who are still doing like the whole suicidal positivity thing.
They're great.
So we find out that inside of a Railgon panic room, a panic throne room?
Size trophy room?
Or yeah.
Panic throne room?
Trophy room. Yeah, those are sex toys.
Oh, that one is absolutely been up someone's ass.
It's
that one
folk
is like
art.
That is absolutely a fucking sex toy. 100%.
I.
Matt agrees. All right.
Or he's trying.
Yeah. I like the joystick one.
That's what I was getting at.
Yeah,
I
know. It's bulbous for her pleasure.
Her pleasure.
There.
And him's. Oh my God, I just got the part where he picked it up. It's so much a dick.
And he is super not impressed with it either.
He does. He even says, like, what's this junk or something? Like,
yeah. Junk.
I know it's expensive. It's valuable, but I can't say I like it.
That's it. That's the line. I can't say I like
it. He doesn't know about art, but he knows what he likes or doesn't like.
And what's really surprising is we cut over to Wang, and he's got his own little buddy, just like the one Tyler told me.
It's a matching pair. For couples.
And he goes, Emperor. Because we're still calling her Emperor at this point, I think.
Empress. No.
No. They jump over to Empress, but there for a long time. She says Emperor Goya the beans or whatever. But like, yeah, this episode I catch the change over and start saying Empress.
Emperor Garbanzo beans?
Yeah. He's like, yeah,
Empress.
You'll be killed. Well, no, later on they start saying Empress, but like episodes before this, they say Emperor. The railguns are really progressive.
No, I'm sorry. You're yeah.
Mandela effect. Anyway, this is where Wang is just like, ha, you're going to be killed by the USPF, just like your father was. So we've confirmed that Wang is a dick.
We knew that.
Yeah. Now, I assume he means he probably also blew her dad up.
Up.
In a similar way.
Yes. We get the scene with Aslan.
Aslan.
We get the scene with Aslan doing the, I have this friend and she's got a secret crush. And
so stupid. And he's so like, dumb.
What's her name? And he's like, don't worry about it. And
so dumb.
What?
It's dumb.
What?
But I love it. It's dumb.
Tyler doesn't understand what she's talking about. Probably.
Probably.
Yeah. So, who knows this fucking guy? So he just plays this little game of like, oh, why can't they be together? Are they different social classes? Do their families hate each other? He's like, you're getting
just
warm.
Like Romeo and Juliet.
No, she has Romeo.
Romeo and what's her name?
And what's her name? So Tyler probably has no idea what she's trying to tell him, and so she does the schoolgirl anime thing and freaks out and hates him.
Yeah, I like this part a lot though. Because this is an argument everybody has about the dense anime protagonist.
Yes.
She's like, the problem with this guy is he's super dense. And Tyler's like, super dense, huh? Well, there's no shortage of those guys. And then a moment later, he literally goes, duh.
Well, his high density comes in handy because he's able to use it to save her when Wang's thing goes bang.
What? Oh, dang.
It blows the fucking place up.
Yeah, Tyler has no hesitation. He picks up Azaline and runs for cover.
And that sex toy fucks them all.
There's a scene in the background before the explosion where Tyler's laying down, and there's some more of that art that's like just quickly drawn. And yeah, there's definitely one right behind him that is like definitely something I've seen in a sex shop.
Well, at this point, after the explosion, Aslan is okay. Aslan, whatever, is okay.
There you go.
But Tyler, he's dead. And she cries over him. She's going to do like the Pikachu healing tear thing, I think.
Bill, 10 points for that reference. 10 fucking points that you were able to pull that one out of your hat.
Pikachu!
Bill. Bill has become a true anime fan this day.
I remember being at Thurk's house and you guys crying over that movie.
It was sad. I was there. Fucker. And I had seen that once already because I saw that in the theater with Will. I think we took the day off school to go watch that, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah.
So far, her tears don't heal him. So she just shakes the bell out of him. And by that, I mean she shakes until the bell necklace falls out.
When did she give that to him? Did she give that?
Yeah, she gave it to him.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, back in the holodeck episode.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I just didn't remember that part, so I was confused by that.
Yep. She cries as the machines finally, like, make landfall in the room. And Dom actually holds his Marines back to let them cry over their captain.
Plus, Sarah's going to be shooting at the Empress.
That's true, too.
Cryburn's mech is fucked up, by the way.
There's a big splash on his face. I thought, there's the magic healing tears, but no, not yet.
Nope.
So Aslan orders Dom to let her take him back to the Soyokaze. This is an Imperial Empress order that I get to take him back because he needs their doctors. Because our doctors are fucking idiots. Which, okay, here's my question. If they're doctors are so incompetent. How do they program Harumi to actually be able to work on humans? Did they send her to medical school? Like, they made her...
I think so.
Fucking 10 years ago and just, like...
Probably.
Okay.
It's a pretty good question.
Good way to be spying, you know? Like...
Yeah, she's there.
Actually, like, infiltrate as, like, into a college, like a medical college.
But, yeah. So this is where I realize she says, I am the Empress... Goya the 16th or whatever.
Goza.
And the Destroyer. Exactly. The Gozerian.
Isn't that like the dumplings?
No, those are Gyoza.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry.
That's the bad guy from Ghostbusters.
Oh, okay. Is that the one that gave the dude the handjob?
What?
No, that was just a ghost.
Oh, okay.
That was... Goza the Gozerian.
Matt's like, I can't be on this podcast anymore. Matt's like, this is my formal resignation. I'm no longer going to be around you idiots.
So as Empress, she commands the Marines to escort her back, which power move. Yep. Like, I'm the Empress of a whole different empire. Do what I say. Okay.
Would you refuse?
I mean, maybe. We are at war. We cut back and, you know, Wang is just droopy.
Oh, stop it, Bill.
Fucking stop. He's full of disappointment.
Just a sad Wang.
He's just shriveled up in his little turtle shell.
If he takes his hat off, does he get circumcised? A lot of wrinkly folds up there.
He has to keep the helmet on to keep the hole closed in the top of his head. Can't go to battle without protection. Anyway, Dom, very glad Tyler will be there to protect the Empress. He's dead. He can't protect anybody from anything. He's dead.
Nope. Sure can't.
Scalpel!
Please survive and in my place take care of her.
The Doc and Harumi, they just tuck into some roast Tyler. And Azaline just like sits in the hallway. So... I'm pretty sure that means he's dead and the enemy's over. Weird ending.
Captain Yamamoto from now on.
Weird ending. Weird ending.
Very weird ending. Honestly, very strange.
How so?
They kill the main character off 18 episodes in.
That's it. That's the end.
Oh, you're pretty convinced.
Yeah.
There's no more episodes. There's definitely not 8 more episodes.
And if there is 8 more episodes, I'm sure he's not alive at all.
It's all Yamamoto.
You know what? I'd be okay with it. As much as I love Tyler, I'd still be okay with the Yamamoto show.
In the next time, he actually makes a joke about the comic composed Captain Yamamoto.
Yeah.
I love it.
Which apparently inspired a CD drama where Yamamoto is the captain of the Tsukase and Tyler is his first officer. And Yamamoto gets captured by the Raugons and everybody's happy that he's gone and Tyler's the new captain.
Oh, that's so sad.
The Japanese will just make anything, won't they? Like anything.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen their porn.
Hey, and that's the episode.
Where's Josh when we need him?
Oh, no. Where's the episode? Hey, this is the part of the show where we talk about our thoughts on the episode. Overall, it is Bill's episode, so Bill gets to go first. What'd you think of this episode, Bill?
Probably one of the better ones so far. Again, we had a plot. Things happened. There were emotional stakes. There were space battles. Yeah, this may be number one episode so far.
Yeah, pretty big fan of this episode. Good action, good Tyler stuff. Let you know what he's willing to go through to protect Azaline.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
It's good. I think I liked it more after talking about it again, which is good. That helps. It's one of those things where, like, the podcast makes me feel a little more positive about it.
Can I hear more about your initial reaction?
My initial reaction was really cool space battle. Characters don't seem to make sense in the choices that they're making.
Right. What brought that on?
I don't buy the full romantic connection between Tyler and Azaline yet. Maybe it's because it was so sudden. And I know that we had the cool like episode where they were like, they had a song. Music video or whatever, and we're supposed to just be like, that's it, that's all it is.
I mean, they did have a music video.
They did, but I feel like it needs to be more than that.
So far it's mostly been her having sort of a thing for him.
than the other.
Yeah, I guess. Dom still confuses the hell out of me. I don't get him. And I know that, like maybe, I don't know, maybe he'll make more sense later, but, like, I still just don't get him. Like, he doesn't make any sense to me.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, Wang turning against them made sense, you know? Like, shooting a shot.
We all knew he couldn't trust the Wang from the beginning.
No, you can never trust the Wang. But yeah, it's aside from, like, the battle, like, I was kind of just like, I don't really get what's going on through most of the stuff. There were, like, moments of, like, again, I guess Tyler's brainwashed, whatever. Sure, I guess. So, like, his choices, like, I didn't really get them. Yamamoto saves this episode. The crew and the fact that they, like, fight through and do everything they can to save their captain saves this episode. The battle, being the first good battle of the entire anime, saves this episode. I'm interested to see what happens, although, like, quote-unquote killing the main character with 8 episodes left is, like, kind of lame.
I say it was the second good battle we had. Because that first one with Donut versus the UPSF was, with all the classical music, was pretty sweet, I thought.
Yeah, the classical music was good. That's true. I forgot about the set piece for that. But generally speaking, after like talking about it and making more sense of some certain things, I liked it a lot better.
So I make anime better?
Bill, this is the only time I'll ever say this, and maybe it's because I'm a little tipsy on Farmer's Market wine, but you make anime better.
Is it the only time you'll say it?
No, probably not. even when sober, I might say it. So, that's episode 18 of The Irresponsible Captain Tyler. Episode 19, I believe, is titled Filming is Job 1.
No.
Oh, my God. That's the top of this preview. Sorry. Episode 19 is titled Sleeping Beauty. Is that right? I got it.
It's got to be right closer. Thing.
That's the one.
I did it good. All right, before we jump into episode 19, I think it's about time that we go to the break card. Welcome on into the break card. It's Andy, and I hope you are enjoying a double episode. Peek behind the curtain, it wasn't meant to be a double episode originally, but our first episode ran so short, and our Nerd News segment, which we cut out, or the original episode, was so long that we decided to give you an extra long double episode today. So I hope you are enjoying this twofer episode. It worked out. These two episodes are very closely linked, and we'll get to see a continuation of the story and our discussion of it today. You can head over to patreon.com/tuningjapanese, and you can find that bonus content. If it's not up right now, it'll be up sometime later this week. Our discussion of a whole bunch of Marvel stuff. We talked about Madam Web a little bit for some reason. We talked about the trailers for X-Men 97. We also talked about the trailer for Deadpool and Wolverine. So if you want to listen to that extra bonus content, check that out on our Patreon later this week. And you can find that alongside all kinds of other bonus content, once again, at patreon.com/tuningjapanese. We don't have many episodes left of The Irresponsible Captain Tyler, so we hope that you are enjoying what we are reviewing. We're going to be moving ever closer to our finale and to our reveal of what we're going to be doing for our 10th season. Wild, absolutely wild to think. Hope you are all having a fantastic day, and let's get into episode 19 of Captain Tyler. We're back for the break card, and it's episode 19. It is Sleeping Beauty time.
Having deja vu.
It's Matt's turn.
I'm ready to go. Yes, sir.
All right, Schnarf.
That was Meatwad.
Oh, what if Meatwad and Schnarf hung out? That'd be cool.
Snarf would kill him.
Episode 19 of Here's Festival Captain Tyler begins.
What the fuck was that?
What the hell? What has happened?
It's just how the show begins.
Did you forget to put the seat on your chair this again?
Yes. I'm sorry. You just let me go back to the beginning here and try again.
I'm not drunk enough for this.
I was just clearing my throat. Episode 19 of The Irresponsible Captain Tyler. Believe it or not,
begins where we left off in the last episode.
What?
Yes, it's true. Azaleen is still sitting outside the operation room.
It's damn true.
Being sad and worried about Paco Paco.
My poor sad Paco Paco.
When Yuriko shows up and offers her a drink.
She's very taken aback by the fact that Yuriko would be so nice to her.
Yes, she thinks they're all strange creatures because they haven't even interrogated her.
Mm-hmm.
And Yuriko's like, well, it's just because Tyler risked his life for you and we couldn't possibly mistreat you after he'd done that.
Bill, I have a question on this because I'm curious on your thought on this.
Yes.
Given, like, you know, this anime has, like, heavy social commentary on war. We talked about that quite a bit.
Yep.
Were you surprised by the way that they were treating Azaleen here?
I can't say I was. I mean, A, to their eyes, although she's the emperor, or empress or whatever, she's still just, like, a random little girl. She's not armed or anything.
We get very little of the crew this episode. So, like, you know, Anderson and Qyburn, like, I could see them being, like, lock her up and being real angry. But I guess we're just kind of limited to the specific crew that we see here, so I guess it makes more sense.
Yeah, if weren't just dealing with the certain people we were, then I could see it becoming that way. But I'm not surprised Yuriko was nice to her. Let's put it that way.
That's fair.
Sure, if it was some other ship, that wouldn't have happened this way.
And that's true, too, yeah.
I mean, also, I guess they did escape this, essentially being not just quarantined, but arrested by their own people, so...
But it also hasn't been that long since Azaleen got there.
True.
Could be the plan is to, after Tyler's all fixed up, to take her to the fleet and do the normal thing.
Mayhaps.
But what happens in this episode...
What happened was...
What happened?
The Doctor and Harumi come out of the operating room finally, but they don't look happy because the Doctor has found a biochip in Tyler's brain... which he assumes was there for mind control purposes.
Fine, you win. Here's your $10, madam. Just pass it through the computer right here. Here we go. Yay! Here's your money.
Yahoo!
I hate this because they make it as a passing statement, which I guess I should have believed them. That's fine. I'm at fault here. I get it. but like, they made it
fine,
so...
Fine, I'm the asshole.
Fine, I'm the asshole. But like... They make it so just kind of like whatever. And he's still so much like himself normally. I just don't think it was executed well at all. Although, a very John Crichton Farscape sort of like storyline here.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, sometimes the subtle changes are the most terrifying.
I guess.
Like when your pee starts to smell funny?
Yeah.
When you've had asparagus, yes.
I concede that even though he still was acting very much like himself, and I've seen other people say the same thing.
It seemed like a plot point that they didn't develop well.
Brings up a question, though. When Tyler saves Azaleen, was that all his own free will or influence from the biochip?
My biggest problem there is, like, of course he did it himself. Like, that's just Tyler. So, like, to throw in the idea that, like, he's being influenced by this chip, just, like, tries to cheapen his character a little bit.
Not a single one of us was like, oh, why would he do that? Like, we all know he would.
I don't know if I'd say it cheapens it, but when you get right down to it, if you got both things, then it really doesn't matter about the whole chip thing.
Yeah, it's kind of a hat on a hat.
Yeah.
I guess if anything, it fooled the rest of the Ralgons into thinking like, oh, that's why he's acting that way, maybe.
That's a good point. They didn't realize that it was mostly just... him being him. I like
There's at least that. I like that, too.
I just assume we're going to find out. By dumb luck, it just wasn't doing anything.
Right? There are other complications, because Tyler is currently in a coma, and even if he wakes up, the Doctor's not sure he'll have his old personality.
Why wouldn't he?
Because as we've established, clearly the biochip made big changes in Tyler.
For some reason.
Harumi marks that that's not unheard of, and she says she doubts the Ralguns would allow a prisoner to leave, she says in the English dub. In the Japanese dub, she says she doubts the Ralguns would allow a prisoner to live without putting a biochip in them.
Well, those are two very different things.
Yes, so, right. Dubs suck.
If anything... the dub might be more accurate because obviously no. we know they let him live because the Emperor said so.
Yeah, but they put it in long before they knew he was going to go anywhere.
Or did they put it in because that's what pets get? The scene that I thought they were going to...
Hey, you know, I didn't think about that. Pets get chipped.
Maybe that's the scene... Yeah, that's where he got chipped.
Okay.
That makes a lot of sense now.
And so then she was right when she said she wouldn't let him leave without there being some way of controlling him, spying on him, whatever. They made him an asset. Or tried to.
No, that's fair. I like that.
So I think the dub makes more sense, actually.
No, they didn't really allow him to do shit. Azaline herself said it. And she's definitely not in on this whole conspiracy thing.
Yeah, but they planned ahead.
But also, like, Dom doesn't want to kill him. Like, so, and he's like one of the real head people, it seems like. I don't think Dom would have allowed it either.
He definitely didn't want it, let's put it that way.
To put it in, like, wouldn't they have had to assume that he was going to leave?
This, again, they chipped him like a dog. I don't expect my dogs to run away. But that's what the chips are there for.
But this, brain chip, I'm guessing its idea was it increased Tyler's complacency.
Or it could just be tracking him.
Now, this is why I do tend to think that there was some influence from the chip. Because he was content just being where he was and everything.
Yeah, but he joined the military for an easy life. What's an easier life than being a pet? Especially a well-cared-for pet.
This is point good.
Give this guy a $10 bill. Let me pass this $10 bill through the monitor torture bill. Here you go. Yeah. Here you go.
Oh, me. I have to be the pet of a rich white woman.
Oh, boy.
That's almost the plot to about 5 different anime.
I think that's the name of an anime. Remember the segment from that one game we played. All right, what happens next, Matt? Let's move on. What's going on?
Dr. Kitaguchi believes that the risk of performing surgery on Tyler is too high, and he might kill Tyler if he does. So it's better not to try and leave Tyler comatose?
To draw this back to Farscape.
Please.
I'm sure overlap of audience is like just us. When John was going to get that chip removed, they realized it was too deep and too interconnected into his brain to do it properly without it doing lasting damage.
Yeah.
So like... this is a common trope, it seems, at least common enough. We have 2 examples here where it's like, we can't do it, we don't want to kill him, so we might as well just leave him comfortable.
Maybe they have more advanced facilities back on Earth.
Maybe. Like,
yeah.
Leave him comatose
probably
for now until they get into a better place.
You're probably right about that. This is not the pride and joy, high-tech crown jewel of the Space Force fleet. Exactly.
Right.
It is not. Watch Farscape.
Watch Farscape. Give season 1, at least until episode 19.
Yeah, season 1's a little slow at first. It's not the greatest at first. They had to find their legs.
Yeah, as most shows go.
Yeah. Speaking of finding your legs, or... not finding your legs?
Lieutenant Dan?
I'm not really sure what I'm going for, but Azaline collapses under the strain of the recent events.
She sure do. And they show her more kindness and take her somewhere where she can rest.
Yeah, find a nice bed for her where she lies, moaning about Paco Paco. And Yuriko and the doctor are there, and Yuriko's like, huh, that's a fitting name for the captain, isn't it? The doctor's just like, whatever. One thing, though, Tyler must have been a real support for our young empress.
That was pretty good.
That was very on the mark.
Thank you. And he's right. Tyler was a very big support for her there.
But speaking of support, Kim brings has some support tea.
Yes, Kim has helped herself to Ensign Katori's green tea, and she offers him a cup, which he refuses to take because apparently... to make one's wish come true, one must do without their favorite thing.
Like fish sandwiches?
Could I give up puns for superpowers? I don't think I could.
You give them up for lint.
Katori, is it just me or is Katori still like the most underdeveloped person of this crew?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, no, because...
the Marines really are.
Yeah, so there's some dudes just standing around in the back of the Marines just like...
Well, like, I feel like I don't know anything about Katori at all. Like, I feel like, did he
we
not...
We don't know anything about the guy named Jason with a hockey mask on.
I mean,
either.
That's fair. But, like, yeah. did Katori not get a spotlight episode?
He likes wishes and green tea.
No full episode devoted to
okay,
him.
Okay, that's fair. All right.
And driving.
That's probably why.
But, yeah.
And driving. He loves driving and tea.
We know he loves his green tea. We know he thinks he's the best helmsman in the fleet. We will sort of learn some other interesting things later about him. How are they going to help Tyler? Ah, here's an idea. They could put him in the deep psychological synchronizer.
Just some mumbo jumbo bullshit. This just
sounds like a thing you do.
In other words, start it up.
I simultaneously love and hate when anime does this, or any media does this. Not just anime, any media, where it's like, ah, yes, we need some bullshit words that we throw together and make something up that doesn't make any sense.
It makes perfect sense.
Okay, let's send someone into his brain and then sync their brain waves exactly the same, and then somehow they'll snap him out of his coma, but also destroy the chip? What?
Well, the way you said it, it sounded like the words themselves put together like that didn't make sense, and they do.
I disagree.
It's technobabble.
It is technobabble.
I have to defend Tyler here. It's a long-standing tradition of technobabble in science fiction shows.
I bet you could do it with the Aurora chair.
I bet you could do it with the Aurora chair.
Would you hate Farscape if they did that, Andy?
If they had done that, would you have hated it? Probably.
All right. Boy, this is becoming a Farscape-heavy reference episode.
I love... Oh, fucking start... Let's just start the podcast, Initiate Starburst. Then that's what we're going to call our Farscape podcast, or like Rigel's Kids or something. I don't know.
Rigel's Kids.
You guys ever want to take a break from this show? I am fucking down for that.
I fucking love Farscape. It's so good.
It is a good show.
We see a display that shows Tyler's brainwave pattern. And the doctor demonstrates how they sync another brain pattern to it. And the idea is someone's got to go on a fantastic voyage into Tyler's inner mind and release his original, very slightly different from his changed personality.
The other thing I don't like about this is that it's not Yamamoto going in.
Well, he wanted to go.
I know.
There's nothing new to this plot, going inside someone's body.
Nope.
Which is inner space, a dimension unto itself, and the brainy parts are the most complicated. The doctor warns that shoving two minds together could cause the entering psyche to snap or become scrambled eggs.
Scrambled eggs!
The brain scramblies. Oh, no.
He has the brain scramblies.
But who would be brave enough, Matt, to step into this machine?
Yamamoto! But, well, okay, he was until the doctor said all that about scrambled eggs.
It is Yuriko, and I'm curious, did you expect it to be Yuriko?
Yes, but that's just kind of how these things go. Romantic comedy subplot, kind of like anime trope. Yeah, yeah.
As for me, how the hell could I remember? But yeah, Yuriko's brave, even after learning that this has only been done once before and one of the two people died. And the doctor says he won't be held responsible, but Yuriko says, you've never taken responsibility for anything anyway.
She's not wrong.
He has no comeback for that one.
Yeah. So she gets doctor, in the damn chair.
Mr. Spit alcohol on your ass.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Guess you got spit alcohol or something.
Right. Yeah.
Well, she gets in the damn
chair. She gets in the damn pod. But and the first sign of danger, the doctor will yank her brainwaves out at a moment's notice. But then Azaline rushes in and jumps into the pod with Yuriko, and they both start syncing with Tyler. And then Tyler wakes up and screams, "You blew my cover! Yeah, let me any minute! I kill you all! Let me go!" Just kidding. That's from Total Recall.
Okay, you have to have her in this too, because Yuriko is too serious of a character for this to, like, actually work.
Absolutely. If it was just Yuriko in there, she would walk in, do the job, and walk out.
Yes, right? And the tone would be very different.
Yeah, there'd be no episode.
Assuming she could do the job. Well, the next thing you know, we're inside Tyler's mind, and Yuriko is surprised to see that Azaline's there, but Azaline's like, hey, Paco Paco's my pet.
Sure, we'll go with it.
This is the point of this episode where we get...
Break card.
The break card, or the eye catch. And, Andy, I don't know if you saw my explanation for this on Facebook. You remember, a while back when you asked me about the names on the eye catch and why Tyler was spelled Taylor?
Yes.
I explained in on a Facebook message that, but I don't think you saw it. In Japanese, the T-Y in Tyler would be spelled T-A-I.
That makes a lot of sense.
And that's why it's spelled that way there.
So then should we call this the Irresponsible Captain Taylor?
No.
Okay. All right.
Because we are...
No. Fuck you.
Because we are Japanese languaging this mofo, not English dubbing it.
Okay,
God,
that's fair.
God, dubs suck sometimes.
Oh my God, shut up.
I said sometimes. Sometimes.
Get back to the fucking review. Come on, get back to the fucking review. I love you, Matt.
Everybody hurts sometimes.
No, I don't want to think about that song. Shut up.
Anyway, it's all right.
Yeah.
Everybody hurts sometimes.
We're going to get back to this concept because Yuriko and Azaleen, their brains sync with Tyler with no issue whatsoever. Is this Tyler's luck field activated again?
Possibly.
It's possible.
Or it's that thing like in Futurama where Fry is his own grandpa.
Oh.
There's no brainwave there to sync. They just sync to each other.
Oh, right.
I think that, like, when we get to the part where we look at his, like, subconscious or whatever, like, I could see how both of these women play a different role. And he thinks of them kindly, but also unkindly in some ways. Right. So maybe there's something there with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to talk about that part. So, Yuriko and Azaleen, are told to, like, imagine they're going up a hill so they can, cause they're, I don't know, it doesn't make any real sense, but anyway.
Go up the brain.
They have to go up the mind to reach the biochip location. And on the way there, they find threads of Tyler's memory. Particularly, they apparently found his women's storage area.
His women's storage area.
I was... Title of the episode. But I was really concerned at this point.
Yeah.
Because we see, like, when he touches, there's, like, the horny robot from episode one. Yeah. I'm like, uh-huh. If this turns into a fucking clip episode, I'm out. I'm done. I'm done with this fucking anime. But thankfully, it's not.
A clip episode, it would have started the clips a lot sooner.
You know, you're right. Hey, that's true.
You know what, Andy? Your anime had four fucking clip episodes in a row.
we skipped them. It's fine.
I skipped them. I was the brave one there.
You recapped them briefly. It was fun.
I said, no, I'm not going to fucking do it.
Azaleen wonders if there's a memory of her in there. So she goes to look around, but Yuriko tries to stop her, and Azaleen just says that she has no right to do so.
That's morally gray. Because, like...
I think this is Empress Ego popping in here a bit.
Well, we're already here.
They're already poking around in Tyler's mind, and I don't know if Tyler gave consent, so I don't know.
Yuriko and Azaleen have finally come into contact with Tyler's subconscious, and it's pretty weird in there. It's got bits of Tyler's personality represented by a bunch of body parts, including mouths, noses, ears, and a buttocks, which thankfully does not talk.
wait, there's a butt?
There's a butt.
I didn't see the butt either.
There's a butt in there.
Oh my God, there is, or those are balls. One of the two. Those look like they could also be testicles. I think it's a buttocks.
Yeah, the show's not
testicles.
Not rated MA mature for.
Anyhow,
that's immature.
Yes,
all these parts can talk, and they say things to both Yuriko and Azaleen that Tyler would never consciously say. What is it like? There's an eyeball that absolutely loves women and will gladly be a woman's slave.
Yeah, so like each body part like has like a different like perception that like
yeah
of these women and of their situations that they put Tyler in.
Yeah, yeah. And they're one of them, I think it's an ear. It's Tyler's thoughts about Azaleen. And it says, look, I can't stay here and play with you forever.
Giggity.
Each one is like saying these different things, and then like so like Yuriko gets upset because one of them talks about her being stern, I think, something along those lines.
It's like, how can you like a woman who goes against you all the time? Whatever word for that.
Yes. Emasculates you. No. Condescends to you.
Yeah. Condescends is closer.
who slaps you when you're just trying to be nice to them, that sort of thing.
But also another part's like, yeah, but also like what kind of a friend or a companion or someone that you says they love you, like holds you captive to Azaleen. And it's a kind of an interesting scene. There's definitely, it's probably one of the weirdest things I've seen in Captain Tyler, but deep down, I kind of like what's going on here. I think it gives both of these female characters a chance to feel positive, but then at the same time, come to realize that they are kind of harming Tyler in some ways. And I find it really fascinating because, like, Tyler always seems like he's okay and just kind of happy, especially around, like other people. But he's not all the time. He's a human. He struggles with these insecurities and doesn't always like the way that he's treated either. So I thought it was a very humanizing moment for Tyler in this part.
Yes, it gives him depth.
Yes, I would agree.
Which you may not have been sure was there before.
Yes, I agree.
And I think it shows that he really does have other people's best interests at heart.
Yes.
Otherwise, with Azaleen, he would have told her that he can't just stay there and play with her forever because he has things to do. One of which is be the captain, which we get the nose comes in here and he's like, I'm the captain. You must do what I say. So there is some of that authoritativeness in Tyler somewhere.
Yeah.
He seems to mostly ignore it.
Bill, any thoughts on that scene?
It could have been a lot more fucked up. I'm glad they stuck with mostly facial body parts.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to get a spleen in there.
No. Nasty little bastards. No, I don't have a lot of thought process on, like, what this says about Tyler. I get that they're going for complicated, but, you know, hidden depths. But I guess we are getting into Vash the Stampede territory where he's not just the doofus he pretends to be.
Right.
Maybe that's the core message of this.
Maybe. I see that, but
that is one of the reasons Tyler and Vash are inextricably linked in my mind.
Yeah, I could see that. I also think that it's more for the female characters in this moment than it is for Tyler, but it definitely sheds some light on Tyler as well.
How's that, too? Yuriko seems to kind of maybe have the thought that maybe she could. She doesn't like to get angry, so maybe she could end up. She could lighten up a bit, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's prettier when she smiles.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Now, things become rather chaotic because everything in Tyler's mind, all the parts and whatnot, they start talking over each other. It's loud and confusing. Yuriko calls out and she's like, there are a bunch of captains in here and I don't understand what they're saying. And at one point, Azaleen just has enough and she screams out. And that scream cuts through all the chaos and their surroundings change from the dark mindscape to a bright green field with bubbles and other strange objects floating around.
It also fucks up their connection.
Yeah, they start to desync.
No!
Confusing everybody, confusing the doctor and everybody else.
If I know anything from Evangelion, you want a perfect sync rate, or else you can't write the mechs.
Not too perfect of a sync rate.
But not too perfect, because you know what happens then.
So then he turned to goo.
Yep, yeah, you sure do.
Exactly.
Well, how do they get out of this, Matt?
They fire that tube thingy out of the back and...
No, wrong anime.
You know, somebody in this show has a thing for blobs.
Yeah, there's a lot of blobs going on.
Back in the, on the Melva, the Raugon main ship, in the holodeck, they had a blob, which was a control
sex
panel.
Blob.
A sex blob or whatever, which was a control panel of some sort. And in this one, we've got another blob. It's a blue blob that Azaleen touches, which forms into Tyler's head, kind of making it kind of looking like the that alien probe from the Abyss, if you've ever seen that movie.
Yeah, yes. Mm-hmm. And then just kind of, they just kind of like coalesce around her and carry her away.
Yeah, she's lifted into the air, but she's not worried because she knows Yuriko asks why she's not worried, and she's like, Tyler would never hurt me. Or Paco Paco would never hurt me, whatever he says.
And then he does that weird thing where, like, the face, like, just kind of, like, goes over her head and, like, tries to drown her for half a second.
I'm a helmet!
This blob of liquid that is Tyler's face envelops her head, which, and communicates with her this way.
like direct communication. It asks her a question, obviously, because she agrees and says that it's fine with her if he wants to do that. Whatever question this Tyler blob asks, she says it's fine with her. And Yuriko is worried, and Azaleen kind of gives Yuriko a bit of a lecture that she needs to start listening instead of getting angry all the time. And that's the part where Yuriko says that she doesn't like to get angry.
Yes, that was where earlier. It was.
And Azaleen mentions how, says how Paco Paco is a very kind person and her friend, which is kind of moves me a bit. And then all the liquid blobs converge on her and form a sphere within which she's floating. Kind of knees up, not in a fetal position exactly, but kind of close.
That's pretty fetal.
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty womb-like.
But that womb's got a hell of a view.
Thank you.
Fuck!
I was struggling with if I wanted to say that or not. glad one of us did. Now, what this means is that Azaleen's mind has fallen asleep inside Tyler's.
Inception.
Exactly.
I love how Yuriko tries to, like, paw at the...
Yeah, but it's like...
She can't...
It's like trying to claw through a rubber ball or something.
Yes.
It goes boink, 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 boink,
meow. I don't think she went meow, Bill.
I don't know. I played it on mute. I can't hear.
Azaleen pretty much just tells her to go away. She wants to stay there, enveloped, perhaps one can assume, inside Tyler's kindness?
His brain womb.
Oh, stop it. We'll go with that.
Bottom line, she feels safe with Tyler. Is
she taking a pregnant pause?
Oh, stop it. God damn it.
This is where Yuriko finally says some things that have been probably a long time coming. She won't let Tyler die after all they've been through, and she says that no one else deserves to be the captain of the Soyokaze. She says, who do you think that captain's seat is waiting for? Just a Yueki Tyler! Some part of Tyler hears this, and the sphere holding Azaleen bursts, and
sploosh.
And this entire area floods with mind juice.
Some, I guess, yeah. It's like a
major witty.
This has an effect on outside Tyler, whose body convulses, and the doctor and Hermione and Yamamoto panic a little bit, and then we see the biochip in Tyler's brain fade away.
Fucking stupid.
It's a biochip, so I always assumed it basically dissolved into an inert something in Tyler's brain.
They psychically hung out with him so hard that he fought back against the machine cancer.
There are lots of cool ideas that this brings up about Raugon technology, which we have seen is all biotech.
It's mostly brain tumors.
Oh, no.
Oh, am I a Railgun spy?
Yeah, stop it.
Not anymore.
Yuriko and Azaleen are being carried away by the current of their connection to Tyler's mind. They're basically going back to their own brain stems.
They're getting brainwashed.
They're being sent through the brainwash. Cut to Yuriko waking up sometime later. Azaleen is already up, and Tyler didn't survive, guys. He's dead. Oh, wait, he's better again.
Okay, yeah, there it is.
After some sad wailing from Yuriko and a tear, Tyler wakes up. Tyler's up again. He introduces himself like he's getting his bearings again or something.
Azaleen pounces. Azaleen
pounces, tackles him, and it hurts. And he's like, that hurts, Azaleen. And she's like, let it hurt. And then hugs him tighter, and he's like, ah!
It's a great still. I just paused on it. It's a fantastic still.
But we could have done without the panty shot. Which
yes!
On him.
I hate that. But anyway, carry on.
Yuriko says, it actually worked. And the doctor is like, I guess so. Can anyone really know with Tyler?
No.
We've been debating it since the whole brainwashing thing.
You're never really sure.
It's part of the charm.
And Tyler brings out one of his... classic references to Yuriko's skin looking dry, and he asks if she's tired, and she's like, who do you think I got so tired for? And she about slaps him upside the head again.
She goes for the knuckle wrap thing.
Yeah, but
that seems like an executable offense.
So many things she's done would be if Tyler was that kind of captain.
But she has character growth. She shows restraint.
Yes.
She doesn't abuse her captain.
She's even so happy to have him back that she's crying a bit. And she drops her hand and she says again, just who do you think I got so tired for? Tyler, of course, doesn't get it.
He's been passed out.
Oh.
He just woke up from a weird-ass coma.
Yep.
But we see everybody on the ship cheers for the safe return of Tyler as the Soyokaze makes its way to parts unknown, although most likely heading back to the fleet. Although maybe not, because they were trying to kill them last time we saw them.
I think that about does it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's episode 19. This is the part of the show where we talk about our overall thoughts on the episode. Matt, tell us what you thought on this episode.
I like this episode quite a bit. It gives some interesting looks into Tyler's mind and gives you some ideas about... But I'll tell you, I'd like it if it was longer. I'd like more exploration into Tyler's mind.
That's what she said.
She'd like more information, more insight into Tyler's mind? She would?
Okay, yep.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I don't know. I'm still annoyed by the chip thing. It was a fine storyline for bringing her onto the ship and acclimating her to the crew. Because I'm going to assume now that she's just going to hang out with the crew for the rest of this on the Soyokaze because she can't go back because they're going to be like mad that she like abandoned and took him with. So I'm sure that she's going to be like exiled or something.
She's the Emperor. She can do what she wants.
She promised she'd go back as soon as Tyler was okay, so...
Yeah, I don't see it happening. I think she'll stay on the ship, is my guess. I don't know. It was a fine episode. It was okay. The mumbo-jumbo to get there was stupid, but, like, when you're in there, it was pretty good. I definitely would have liked it to be, like, kind of like what Matt said, a little more time in there to kind of build it out a little bit more, I think, and less time outside, so... That's my general thoughts. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Doing the mind swap thing is a pretty standard sci-fi trope. You know, technobabble is pretty standard. So, again, it's one of those episodes where something happened. Like, there was a progression of plot. So that was good. But, yeah, it could have made a little more sense. Maybe gave us a little more insight into Tyler. Maybe not the episode's longer, but maybe the balance differently.
I don't think the show wants to really influence your decision on how you think of Tyler.
Yeah, but they could have definitely given us more evidence in both ways.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have to influence us just to give us more. Yeah, it was a maybe a B-plus episode for the show. A C for in general, in the greater scheme of, like, it was fine.
Well, with that, that was our review of The Irresponsible Captain Tyler, episodes 18 and 19. But next time... It's back to me again.
Back to you.
Episode 20, Well-Handled Solutions. Will we go back to back with two good episodes? I guess we'll find out when I watch this episode. Because the last time I reviewed, I actually finally got a good episode.
Yeah. You've sucked out so far.
I really have. It's about time that we get out of here. I guess you both did a review this episode, so I guess I should do the closing. Why not?
That seems fair.
Let's just throw it away here. Thanks so much for listening to Toonies Japanese, a podcast where three dudes in their 40s talk about anime. I've been Andy.
I've been Bill.
I've been Matt.
And we'll see you next time.
Deep psychological kisses.
This is going to fuck up the two-part episode, huh?
Thanks for listening to Toonies Japanese. For more information on our show, visit tuningjapanese.com, where you can find links to our past 8 seasons of the show, bonus episodes, and articles. You can also contact us on social media. Visit facebook.com/tuningjapanese for updates, tweet at us at tuningjapanese, and email us your feedback and comments at tuningjapanese@gmail.com. Please consider supporting our show by leaving a 5-star rating and review wherever you listen to today's episode. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Podbean, or any other number of podcatchers. You can also go to patreon.com/tuningjapanese and support the show monetarily. There you can find bonus episodes and our special audio series, Tuning In, where we provide first impressions on a number of popular anime series. Special thanks to our Patreon supporters, Ryan Nash and Matthew Van Diver.
What is this thing, Doctor?
The Deep Psychological Synchronizer. Huh? In other words, start it up.
Yes, sir.
Okay, here we go. These are Tyler's brainwaves. And this is another brainwave pattern we sync to it. The Deep Psychological Synchronizer can allow another person to enter Tyler's psyche and release his original personality.
So that person can turn Captain Tyler back to normal?
In theory, yes.
Then I'll do it, Doctor!
I wouldn't be so anxious if I were you, Lieutenant.
What do you mean?
A person's body is inner space. A universe within this one. And the section upstairs is the most complicated part of it. They say a human being's innermost soul is unknown, even to them. Now, imagine what would happen if you tried to force someone else's psyche in there. One wrong move and you're scrambled eggs. Bye-bye.
Scrambled?